Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to the Sunday show on Mr. Monster, the Roundtable Discussion. I'm Derek, one of your hosts, with Jack Dodell and Wayne Johnson, who are delighting their minds. Welcome back to the law. I hope you'll join us, stick with us, and have lively discussion. Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening, Gwen.
You know, Blog Talk is like kitchen sink production, and there's hesitate boxes, there's all these lovely little wrinkles in putting it on the air. It's been quite a week. XL Pipeline, as you were talking about, was taken off the table. I don't know for how long, though. And what about all of those people? I mean, Jack, what's the name of our friend in Texas, the tall gal? I keep forgetting her name, but I see her face. The eminent domain, her home. We had her on a few times.
Oh, gosh, yeah, I forget her name. Doggone, it's on the tip of my tongue. It's been a while since we talked to her. Is there some news on her regard?
No, but she's had to deal with all this, the eminent domain, and now what recourse and what are the legal ramifications of it? Then we had scheduled for this evening Sheree Foytlin, a wonderful activist from the Southeast. She's a Louisiana gal. She's also an Indigenous American, and she is ceaseless and tireless in her activism against
She's been to Washington, to the White House, and been arrested, and she's done it all.
Yeah, she got arrested with Bobby Kennedy and a bunch of others. She's done a really great job. Sheree will be with us in a week or two to talk about what she's been up to. We had the release of what we're allowed to look at with the TPP treaty agreement.
Well, the full text of it was released on Thursday, and it didn't take public citizen any time whatsoever to go over it painstakingly. And I'll mention later on in the conversation a great link to go to where it analyzes it piece by piece and gives all the ramifications. And it's by all accounts, it's more deadly. And more worse than people anticipated.
We've talked and warned people about that several weeks ago.
It's basically handing the corporations with the largest profits available the handle on it for all legal purposes in the countries that are mentioned in the treaty, the 12 large nations mentioned in this treaty. Canada it's got to go before their parliament. I don't know if it has to here. Does it go before Congress? Shit, who knows?
Well, it's just got to have an up and down vote. That's they fast track that. So all you get is an up and down vote. You have no chance to amend it whatsoever. No chance to deliberate over it. Each representative has exactly 88 seconds to spend in conversation about it, and that's all they get.
Right.
It's just basically, that's why I think there's been so many. I've been watching the posts on it. There's a lot of people writing on it. Chris Hedges just published a piece yesterday that really tears it apart, so that you can see what's going on there.
Okay, since we're getting into it that way, I'll tell you a great link to go to. Public Citizen is all over it. They can't stand the very idea of it. And they've got tradewatch.org, part of a subset of their website, tradewatch.org. It tears it apart bit by bit, piece by piece, thorough analyzation, and it tells exactly why it's deadly and horrible in all aspects.
Right, well, this is just some of the...
Go ahead, Gwen.
Here on my screen, this is some of the garbage that's contained in this thing, like with copyright, which it twists things around. Don't expect free downloads of Elvis Presley songs before 2047 or the right to publish transcripts of Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech before 2038. They're both copyrighted and will continue to be so for quite a while under this deal. Copyright protections will exist for 70 years after an author's death. These things are important, but they're
historical documents.
But what they do is they jam, when you think about these documents and their ability to serve the community in schools and colleges, and this is going to throw a monkey wrench into that.
That's just the tip of the iceberg, Gwen. That's just the intellectual property side of it. It doesn't say anything about Doctors Without Borders is firmly opposed to it because it's going to give a carte blanche to pharmaceutical corporations internationally to raise prices and retard the release of generic drugs to the point where it's going to cost a lot of people a lot more money to have to stick with the original drug for a longer period of time, and some people aren't going to be able to afford it. And there a lot of biologics aren't included in that category, and it's going to be a deadly result.
It is, again, which I've heard me call many times, this is nothing more than the attack on the working middle class by corporations.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Bernie Sanders has been telling you, I have been telling you for well over a year or year plus now that I've been on this show, my blog sites in the past have been saying, we're being attacked by the working middle class is losing ground each and every day.
I've been denouncing TPP ever since I first learned about it.
I was just saying, in general, corporations have been attacking the working middle class. They've driven down your pay scales and wages and benefits.
That's right.
By busting
exporting more jobs.
Stuff. You've lost your voice as a worker. And now they have every legal means to come after you. That just was unprecedented in history of man.
Yeah, and it's going to further erode the ability, the national sovereignty of all the countries, because any one country can challenge and sue a particular country for its legislation if they deem to threaten corporate profits.
No, not a country, a corporation.
Well,
a
corporation based in some country.
Corporation can run sovereignty over a community, a country, a government. This is what is going
on. It has to be heard in a foreign tribunal that can decide whether or not that particular offending country legislation they'll decide whether or not that country is liable in terms of a payment to the so-called injured corporation, which means that the taxpayers of that country, if found against that country, will have to pay out of their tax money to the corporation. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's going to make countries afraid to do any worker safety legislation, pro-environmental laws. It's just ridiculous.
No, listen, there's a six-month period which a country who is signatory on this. And remember that this is only encompassing the negotiation member states being the United States, Japan, Mexico, Canada, Australia, Malaysia,
Brunei.
Chile, Singapore, Peru, Vietnam, New Zealand, and Brunei. Those are the only countries involved in this. I don't see England in there.
You don't see who in there?
I don't see Europe in there at all.
Oh, no, no. They have a separate one brewing in the background for Europe. It's the TTIP. It's what the initials stand for, but it's the same type of thing, but it's going to really benefit international banking, and it's aimed at Europe and the United States. And, you know, just the TPP alone is going to involve 40% of the world's economies. That is incredibly bad.
Manufacturing-wise,
exactly. Well, anything that it involves that much that great amount of trade is horrible.
And if you remember correctly, gee, what was it, in 2006, 7, 8, you know, when bankings had all the powers with no repercussions,
right.
Were they good stewards of the banking and the economic world economic system? No, they crashed the economy through the abuse.
Exactly.
They're going to do the same thing, only now they have legal means
well,
to
you know,
even
it's
stop
funny
all
because
of
it. So many Republicans are for this, or they're for this bill, without having actually read all the contents of it. Now, hopefully, some of those votes will change, and
I'm
sure they will. But years ago, their argument was, oh, we got to protect national sovereignty. Medicare is a bad idea. It hurts our sovereignty. Everything was a bad idea because it hurt our freedom and our sovereignty. What is this going to do? And they're all for it.
Yeah. Well,
that shows you how off the table they've become. And the Democrats, too.
The Republican Party is pure hypocritical.
Oh, big time, big time.
I'd like to read a quote from Chris Hedges.
Great, yeah. Great man.
Yeah, Alternate has his byline this week, and it's called TPP is the most brazen corporate power grab in American history. And he opens it up with a quote. The TPP, along with WTO, or World Trade Organization, and NAFTA, North American Free Trade Agreement, is the most brazen corporate power grab in American history, unquote. Ralph Nader told me when I reached him by phone in Washington, D.C., quote, it allows corporations to bypass our three branches of government to impose enforceable sanctions by secret tribunals. These tribunals can declare our labor, consumer, and environmental protections to be unlawful, non-tariff barriers subject to fines for non-compliance. The TPP establishes a transnational autocratic system of enforceable governance in defiance of our domestic laws. That's it in a friggin' nutshell.
Yeah.
And it's outrageous. It's outrageous.
It's anti government. It's anti democratic. It's anti republican. It's anti everything that is even smacks of a single bit of public good or regulation whatsoever.
It's
got to be defeated.
It's corporation oligarchy is what it is.
Yes, it is, absolutely.
It's nothing more than the old
international.
Yeah, internationally, it's nothing more than the old serf and lord of the manor system that Europe had for so many years until. You know, this is where liberal came from, because the working people, the serfs, the plebes, right, the common man in those countries, liberated themselves from the yoke strain of tyranny of the overlords, the dukes, the barons, and stuff.
Well,
this was,
and Obama sent all his trade people out to try and bamboozle the public and say all kinds of great things about it and how it's going to curtail the role of China in world economy. Nonsense.
You were talking about how this is part of a triad of trade agreements that includes what they call the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership, the TTIP, and the Trade and Services Agreement, TISA, by calling for the privatization of all public services is a mortal threat to the viability of the U.S. Postal Service, public education, and other government-run enterprises and utilities. Together, these operations make up 80% of the U.S. economy. The TTIP and the TISA are still in the negotiation phase. They will follow on the heels of the TPP and likely go before Congress in 2017. That right there is incredible. Is just friggin' incredible.
Well, they're anticipating by the first week of February this will come to fruition. It has to be defeated. This up or down vote. First of all, Congress was tricked into passing this on a fast track basis. How utterly ridiculous! Every Congress person will have at most 88 seconds to say anything pro or con about this. That is not debate. That is not scrutiny. That is not. That's not even being careful. That's being stupid.
I would step right up to the podium and say, "This is bullshit, and it's
exactly.
a new world order. It's a new world order." You know, years ago, I did my best to find out what information there might be out there about that conspiracy of a new world order. I don't have to search for it anymore.
It's right there in your hand.
The face in this triad agreement of transatlantic trade.
Oh, and there are a host of other ones that are in the forming stages that they're going to present. You know, pretty soon it's going to be corporate Earth, period, unless it's defeated. It's got to be defeated. And you know what? We're not the only people talking about this. In all of those 12 Pacific Rim countries, every single one of them is having popular uprisings against it, and they're advising their legislators, respectively, to completely reject it and not take part in it. And it's a grassroots movement that's it's going to go worldwide, and it's got to happen within the next 3 months.
Gentlemen, I would suggest there has been a freaking revolution by the people of the planet that has been pushing to it, and this could be a boiling point. Because of fast track bypasses the normal legislative process in public discussion and consideration by congressional committees, the House and the Senate, which have to vote on the TPP bill within 90 days of when it is sent to Congress, are prohibited by the fast track provision from adding floor amendments or holding more than 20 hours of floor debate.
It's insane.
About the TPP on the environment. It can only vote yes or no. It is powerless to modify or
change. It's insane. You know, you wouldn't go out and buy a car or a boat or a house or anything like that without without a certain amount of scrutiny. Why in the hell are these guys just going to go yes, no, yes, no? That's insane. That it's just it defies logic. It defies human brain cells to think that they're going to approve something like this without any debate on it or anything. It's just ridiculous.
Are you guys familiar with Kevin Zeese, the attorney who is one of the founders of the group Popular Resistance? TPP creates a web of corporate laws that will dominate the global economy, is what he says, which has been mounted. Popular Resistance is mounting a long fight against the trade agreement. And
Doctors Without Borders.
It's a global corporate coup d'etat.
It sure
is. Exactly.
More powerful.
That's exactly what it is.
And the thing is the congressmen, the majority Republican congressmen, have voted to put this yoke around our necks.
Along with a number of Democratic congressmen as well.
Well, I was going to say, but when you have the majority of them railroading it, Congress, in the Senate. I'm not going to make the generalized statement that all Democrats are good and all Republicans are bad.
No.
A generalized statement, right? But I'm saying what's really been pushing this and driving this and the chairman of the committees of all this
Republicans.
The Republicans.
Oh, yeah, you bet.
Well, the agreement has basically, on the American side, been a product of 6 years' worth of work. By bankers, insurance companies, Goldman Sachs, Monsanto, and
Big Pharma.
Big Pharma. I mean, think about what they can do with the price of drugs. I mean, the world
and let's not forget the president.
This president was, you know, he was.
He's behind it. He wants it passed.
Bought and paid for there. You know, I consider that Bernie Sanders is really a hopeful message for getting the country into it. But, you know, the fact is that I did a show last week after this one where I interviewed the gal who was covering for Progressive News Network. She covered the the Democratic Convention here in the state of Florida, which the DNC chair, Wasserman Schultz, should have, and she was there, but not one candidate showed up, not one presidential candidate showed up. That was first wrong. The second thing was Rubio's seat down here for the Senate is up for grabs.
And I hope it's grabbed.
The corporate son of a bee who got himself slid into Congress down here in my neighborhood, Patrick Murphy, I mean, you talk about corporate.
Oh, yeah.
I was getting a description of all the guys. It's mostly men in his campaign. They all wear suits, and they walk around with signs for Patrick Murphy at the Democratic convention, and they go and stand in front of the tables of the two other candidates. One is Alan Grayson, who got shoved into an alcove. You talk about the fix is in. Got shoved in the Democratic Party big time. Alan Grayson got shoved into an alcove in the lobby, and the other candidate, who I'm very interested in and will probably support, a gal with only $5,000 in her campaign kitty so far, is a woman named Pam Keith, who's an attorney, woman of color, who has grown up in a military family and lived all over the world and would make an excellent senator. As far as I can see, she has a good integrity, knows what she's doing, is no nonsense, understands that there is a compromising situation in all politics. She seems very adept. And the only one, Alan Grayson, I like, but I got to tell you, Alan Grayson, he ruffles everybody's feathers, but he never builds a bridge back. And in politics, that makes you a lame duck, and that's what he has become as congressman.
Right.
And that's unfortunate because Alan
Grayson. Yeah, he's made a lot of enemies, but he's spoken a lot of verbal truths too. And that's
absolutely.
You know, it's a tough choice. You're right, but that's a bad aspect.
He doesn't know how to walk it back and build a bridge when he needs to get things done. And in our government and the state it is in. And listen, guys, I'm the freaking activist anarchist here. And I'm saying, if you're a thinking individual, you're going to be supporting Bernie Sanders, but you understand that the fix is in, and you can see the writing on the wall. Hey, it's going to be Clinton. And I've said this before, and I'm saying it publicly now, and I said it last week on Progressive News. I would just like to walk up on stage and sort of bitch slap Hillary Clinton into some standing.
I hope you have the opportunity to do that.
The woman is, she is the very best person to take the mantle of leadership in this country right now. She really is. She's had her finger on the pulse of global politics for over 30 years. She's smart. She does have heart, and she does care, but she also knows how the game is played.
Oh, yeah.
And she, as far as the strategic mind goes, I would stack her up against any military mind in this country.
Well, she's got master strategist Bill advising her part of the way, too, although she is an independent mind, but she is having some help from him behind the scenes. You can't deny that.
I don't buy into so much as I buy into the fact that she understands, she's playing old school politics because she understands that's how to get into the catbird seat. I think she, in her integrity, on her good side, I do think she can make choices she feels will bring the future into a better place. However, when it comes down to it, she's going to stay in the catbird seat and not get ousted. But she is such... I there's something about her right now that makes me think that she would surprise us, all three of us, once she got in office. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah. Well,
in a good way or a bad way?
In a good way. In a positive way.
I can only hope you're right. Because it's clear to me that she will get the nomination and she will undoubtedly become the next president, the first female president. And I've been saying for a long time, I wish it was Elizabeth Warren instead. But if Hillary can actually do some good and can really surprise us that way, Gwen, I'd be behind her, you know. But we'll see what happens.
The thing is, that being said, though, she's also going to have like-minded people in the Congress and the Senate. I don't care what party you're in. I'm not going to label you Republican or whatever. But as long as they're like-mindedness to help the middle class.
Well, you never know. If once she gets going, it's possible she might have some coattails, and I hope she does. I hope she has enough coattails.
The teabaggers are just going to hound her and duck walk her like they did Obama.
Everybody, all the Republicans and all the conservatives hate her.
They are an embarrassment to my Republican Party. They have to go.
But hopefully her coattails will be long enough to sweep those people out of power or out of influence. Let's put it that way. That would be a real blessing.
I gotta tell you, did you guys spend any time watching her up against that Republican clown show with the Benghazi letters, the 11 hour?
Yeah, I watched some of that.
Those guys were unbelievable. The Gaudi Doody show, you mean?
But the important part about that is, she could have really wiped the floor with them, as they say. But what she did was, she continued to be a diplomat.
She sure was. She had the best politesse I've ever seen. It was outstanding.
Yeah,
she kept her cool. She was regal.
Yeah.
And she
made them look like absolute idiots, which was very good.
Well, they were. I mean, they were. I think any of us could have made them look simple.
And she gained the sympathy of the public and the admiration of the public.
Or her poll results went way up as a result.
Well, it's way up. She's killing. She's absolutely killing. Bernie, on the other hand, has all the right messages, and I don't doubt for a minute that he would not betray his own values or integrity.
Oh, right. I agree. Yeah, I agree.
It's a
wonder.
We
can't say for sure the same thing about Hillary. We just don't know. It's an unknown.
We don't suspect. Yes, and that's where I'm going to say none of us had a clue of what Obama was going to do. We were gobsmacked and bitch slapped by Obama.
We sure were.
And I think that I think we could be in a more positive way the same way with Hillary. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
It's just an instinct I have by looking at her, watching her, seeing how she's responded to people who's the damn media has always claimed she's so reporter unfriendly and la la la. Well, if you sit down and watch her
skilled.
She's very direct. She's personable. She's got it on the ball right now.
You know what? And she's learned a lot from her 2008 experience. She has learned an immense amount. She's much the better candidate now and much the better person. So, we just don't know. It's still too early to tell, but it looks like...
At least we won't be so surprised. We won't be sitting there going, oh, my God, when, she pulls Obama. You understand?
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, and she will. But you know what? I still maintain she's a little too corporatist for my liking. And she will say one thing to get elected, and we'll turn her backs on those people. Very skillfully done, but nonetheless we'll be left wanting. That's what I'm afraid of.
Well, I can't help but agree with you, Jack. And I'm a Bernie Sanders supporter at this point. And I'm working on it, and I hope the best for him. But I can, after spending some time, especially around the Democratic Party down here again, oh, my gosh. I mean, the fix is in. And I'll tell you what, if you watched Rachel, did anybody catch Rachel Maddow's in-depth interview on Wednesday with all the three Democratic candidates?
No, I didn't, but I did happen to watch Rachel a couple times this past week, but I missed that particular one.
Well, that was a shame because she spent 90 minutes and a half an hour with each of them. And,
oh, that's great, yeah.
And I got to tell you, Clinton was the last, and she was basically, and I'll tell you what, O'Malley seems to be a very good politician, or leader. Let me say leader,
right.
Not politician.
Right, right.
O'Malley seems to be a good leader,
right.
As well as Bernie. Of course, he doesn't have the chops that Bernie does. Bernie
mm-hmm.
knows his way around D.C.
Plus, he doesn't draw the crowds either.
Yeah, no, he doesn't, right, because nobody knows who he is. But you know what? We can sit here and speculate and go on and think what we think is going to happen. The truth is, none of us knows. It's still...
Well, everything's up in the air. You don't... Who the hell knows? Donald Trump could end up winning the election. Who the hell... I can't imagine
no,
it,
I cannot see
stranger
that.
Things have happened, you know?
I cannot. I don't think the American people are that damn stupid.
I never imagined Ronald Reagan would have won one, let alone two terms, but he did. And he became the icon for a lot of misled goofball so-called conservatives.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm kind of a Republican like Reagan. Oh, is that right? You believe in lowering the taxes the first year but raising them in the next seven to take this country into a deficit to the depths never before seen?
I don't get it. It's like when I came home from college in my poli sci year and I told my mom I was doing my paper on FDR, she about had a faint. Franklin deficit. Okay. Let's put it this way, honey. You know, I mean, my mom was a very astute person, but she was an Ike Republican.
Right.
And she really thought that Franklin Roosevelt sort of sold out a lot of things, like a lot of Republicans did.
Well, you know, it's funny you mention that, Gwen, because your mom, having been an Ike Republican, Ike derived a lot of his stuff from FDR and the New Deal.
Yeah,
you know.
I would say Ike was a progressive Republican.
Yeah, well,
now, that may sound like an oxymoron today, but he was pro-union.
Well, just look at
the
1956 GOP party platform.
Dangerous.
Yeah.
Just look at the 56 GOP party platform. It's completely different from what they're asking for now.
Oh, absolutely. Not. I was going to say, they would call it wild-eyed liberalism.
Exactly.
Radical liberalism today.
Exactly.
If they looked at the 56 Republican platform.
They were pro-labor union. Imagine that.
Right.
They were pro many things that the Tea Party-infested current reactionary group is totally against and totally opposed to. And they are so ignorant of history and so ignorant of the way the federal government works. Those guys, they're dangerous. They got to be voted out, period. Get rid of them.
What is the Tea Party platform? I mean, really, what is it?
Obstructionism. Pure obstructionism.
Obstructionism and no on spending. No on spending, no matter what.
Right.
And why would that be?
Except for national defense.
Why would
they're so afraid of debt. They're so afraid of debt. They don't understand how economies work. All they want to do is say no, and they're afraid of debt. So they say
no
to it all the time. And any new thing that the federal government wants to do, they want to privatize it, and that's ridiculous.
Right.
And that's the sum and total of their entire policy, which is a bankrupt policy.
Right.
Well,
which is the difference between macro and microeconomics. They don't even have a clue of the true depth. They could not. I bet you've asked them. They could not give you the definition, the similarities and the differences. Make it an essay question of micro and macroeconomics. They would fail miserably.
And they don't even know about the Constitution. Some of the things they're proposing are very unconstitutional, and they're accusing others of unconstitutional actions. They don't even know what they're talking about.
And how did these people get down into D.C. and into Congress sitting there?
Well, thank you, Koch brothers. Thank you, Dick Armey. Thank you, Americans for Progress. Or economic progress, or whatever that front group is that the Koch brothers set up.
Dick Cheney, Fox News.
Oh yeah, exactly. There you go. Oh, Fox News ran with them big time. Fox News popularized that group like they were really something, like they were real individual people, until a lot of dupes were joined up with them.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, yeah, they became a movement. They were created movement. They're bust to their activities, to their protest activities in 2009. Koch brothers money.
You know, guys, I got to tell you something. In my experience in life, I've learned something that if you put a group of greedy people together to committee anything or to bring anything about, when they're really greedy people, people that are mean on the edge about it, with Tea Party folks and a lot of the folks in the corporate club, seem to be. I mean, this whole TPP and triad of of new global corporate dominance. These people are going to get at each other's throats. These corporations.
Well, they're going to self-implode on each other because. Well, it's just like,
right.
And the outfall of it is going to be the destruction of communities, cultures, and countries. I mean, isn't that the history lesson that we know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look what despots and. I mean, it's like putting Pol Pot in the catbird seat over an entire planet here.
Oh, exactly. You know, I'll tell you, this subterfuge that we're getting from the Koch brothers and like-minded individuals, Sheldon Adelson, they're trying to circumvent the government, and they're doing it in a very sneaky way, and they're moderately successful to date, and that's very dangerous. You know, the Kochs have been, they're so sly. You know, here's something really pathetic. Morning Joe actually interviewed Charles Koch.
I love that.
It was just so pathetic. And Mika Brzezinski went right along with it. Oh, she out Debbie Wasserman Schultz. She is the most pathetic fake liberal I've ever seen in my life. She is such a dupe. And she just goes. She and Joe Scarborough went to one of the. They were invited to, and they went to one of the Koch meetings that they had within the last few months. And, oh, boy, they're all starry-eyed. And, oh, these guys are real good people. And, you know, it's a bunch of crap. They were buffaloed from the word go.
Oh, yeah. I don't think they're so buffaloed. I think they're in on it. I think they know exactly, because they have an assured place next to the warm fire. That's all it is. It's great.
That's a very good point, Glenn.
Yeah, they sent them softball questions. They didn't give them one single hardball question. You would expect that from Morning Joe, but what about Mika? Mika's such a worthless. She's worthless, you know.
You know,
she's supposedly this big liberal. No, she's a big phony idiot.
Oh, she's a bobblehead doll, and she's just
exactly.
What do you call it for Morning Joe?
She's a token liberal.
Yeah, she's a conversation tool. She's and as far as being a woman goes in a place of speaking out, she's a horrible failure. And she
she's worthless. You know, that's why I quit watching that show. I watched it periodically until I really discovered Free Speech TV, and you could see good stuff like Amy Goodman and Tom Hartman, and you know.
Yeah.
There's no comparison. Plus, you get interrupted with 5-minute commercials every 3 minutes. You know, so.
Amy Goodman's been making the rounds on some of the MSNBC shows.
Yeah, I'm surprised she's been doing that because she was away from them for a long time. But that's good.
She's become a sort of a regular panelist with some of them. Well, if she has an integrity with them, I imagine she would. And if she felt she needed to get a message in and she was invited, I saw her actually on a Sunday show.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember which one. It's probably NBC.
Mm-hmm.
What is that? Meet the Press.
Meet the Republicans usually with Chuck Todd?
Yeah.
That's all they feature, mostly is Republicans. She must have been the token leftist.
They've had the Democratic candidates on too. It's just that they give them the opportunity to really expound on their issues and what their policies are going to be. I noticed that.
Right. They just try to marginalize them, and they put them on a token basis, and they really don't get into them. They're far more active in covering Republicans. Chuck Todd is a toad.
Well, he's a tool, that's for sure. But
a tool and a toad.
But the thing is, when they're on, it's like Hillary Clinton did Rachel Maddow's show, and it was really a pretty good show. I will give Maddow a kudos for keeping it on the more real line.
She's probably the best commentator they have on that network right now. Chris Hayes is good too.
He is good, you know, it was like
they've gotten rid of Alex, what's her name, and all the other ones. They're all gone now.
They got rid of Ed.
Ed Schultz, That was over his opposition to the TPP.
Right.
And they got rid of, they got rid of my hero, Keith Olbermann. a long time.
Oh, yeah, that was a long time. That was just a political dispute between he and the president. But, you know,
he's also now gotten himself kicked off again off of ESPN.
Right, yeah.
Where is he? If he had himself a cable or an online show, I'd be watching it.
I wish he had his own network. And maybe he's putting it together. Let's hope, huh?
I wish he'd go over to, like, Free Speech TV or something. I mean,
they have no money to pay him.
He can bring money in, you know.
He's a multimillionaire, and he could afford to do it, but why should he? He's worth the money. You know, if he could get on with a network that would actually pay him and give him an actual good set that he could deal with. Al Gore tricked him into coming on to Current TV, and then Al Gore was behind the scenes just trying to sell it, you know, so...
Gore turned his corporation side back to the sun. Yeah,
right. Exactly.
What do you call it? You got to wonder if Al Jazeera, you know.
That ever be a coup if they could grab him? That would be awesome.
Or Russian television, RT.
RT, yeah.
Yeah, that's where like Lee Camp is and a few others who.
And Larry King's over there. How do you like that? Larry King's on RT.
Oh, my God. I had no idea.
Plus, Tom Hartman has an evening program over there, which Free Speech TV simulcasts.
Yeah, no, I knew about that. There are
the big picture.
There are a lot of good commentators out there. But I've watched also commentators on radio that could go, like Schultz did, into a better position with cable or special video or online standards.
Well, Norman Goldman could get on one of them, I'm sure of that.
Who?
Norman Goldman. He's on primetime drive home time.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is he good?
Yeah, he's good. Yeah, he's got his own little kind of shtick going.
And then there's, what's her name you like so much?
Randy
but...
Rhodes, if we could bring her back maybe, huh?
Oh, Randy Rhodes was fantastic. Man, you talk about
a sharp
wit.
Yeah, she retired for a while, but she might be getting back into it.
I'd like to see her back.
She's down in my neighborhood here at Clear Television, or at Clear Radio.
The first time I heard her, I was regional sales manager. One of the territories I had was Florida, and the owner of the rep firm that I had in Florida, you know, we were doing some windshield time. He says, I don't know what your politics are. He says, but I really like this woman. She's intelligent. She speaks, you know, factual stuff. And he turned it on, and I fell instantly in love.
Yeah, she's great. She's great. And, what's the other one now? There's a new one on Free Speech that has been around for quite a while. What's her name now? Yeah. I can see. She's got a slight accent. I forget her name.
I thought you were going to say Stephanie. What's her name?
No, Stephanie Miller is still on in the morning. She's kind of a like a frat house,
bowdy
house kind of stuff with political commentary. She's pretty funny, but she's not as serious as some of them. But Palmer, or no, what's this lady's name? Lori, I forget her name now. Disappeared again.
Randy Rhodes walked away from Clear Channel.
Right. Yeah,
and her stand-in was somebody, I listened to her, too, and she's right down here in Coral Springs, and she does her own broadcast online now.
She does. Good.
She was not, the woman who used to stand in for, oh, my God, I can't even think of her name. She's the one who stood up and gave Alan West such a hard time. I'm sorry. I really
that was local,
it'll come
right?
To you. I was going to say, it'll come to you in a bit.
That was local, right?
She was always the guest moderator when Randy Rhodes stepped out. And
right.
She has on her show a lot people like John Fugelsang and
Stephanie Miller has him a lot too. And Carl Frisch and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's like the old Air America crowd. There are some really good ones out there, but the minute that they feel they might be getting attention from a more serious paycheck standpoint, they all start. Not all of them.
Fugelsang has his own program now on on one of those cable radio networks begins with a P. What is it? I forget now, but he's got his own show going.
Yeah. I can't remember. Boy, I wish I could. Jeez. But the point is that you notice that when these folks get close to something, you know, like they're at Netroots Nation and somebody's talking to them, all of a sudden they're just merely progressive. You know, it's they shut up.
Yeah.
We're progressive. Yeah. We know where it's right to put our, you know, it's like, geez, you got to be kidding me. All this for paycheck. And like I said, it's going to be greed. It's going to be greed that pulls apart everything that goes down with these trade policies, the global corporate.
Well, one thing's for sure, the TPP has got to be defeated. We cannot allow this monstrosity to tie us into a corporate enslavement. We just can't have it.
I got to ask you, Jack, you think we can stop it? That's my wonder.
Absolutely we can. We've got to make a balls-out attempt to let as many people as possible know about it. Democrat, Republican, whatever, it doesn't matter. It's a grave threat to everybody in this country.
I agree.
Except the multi-billionaires.
Well, we did it once by a grassroots effort in social media by blocking the computer, the internet problems.
Takeover, right, exactly.
Oh, yeah, right, right.
It can be done. But
it can be done, and it must be done, and it will be done. I predict that it will, because there is so much opposition to this TPP, and a lot of representatives are starting to rethink their position. Those who voted for Fast Track just didn't know what the hell they were doing, and they're starting to go, wait a minute, as I start looking at this stuff. I bet I've just got a gut feeling that if we're strong enough and we put out enough stink to the right people, this will not pass, we've got to make that happen.
What I think would be great would be if some blogger wrote a standard form email that points out with short bullet points what you have against these.
Go to tradewatch.org. Check it out. It's already done for you.
And you copy and paste it and send it to your Congress.
To everybody. Everybody you know.
To the White House, and then put it all through your social media. It gets going and around. I know Kevin Zeese and Dr. Flowers are doing that from Political Resistance. Popular Resistance.
The more the merrier.
It's really important. It's really important.
It's the most vitally important issue right now. We've got to get this defeated. It's because it spells absolute doom in all aspects of the economy and our social life and our just our well-being overall.
I'm going to say the quality of the working middle-class life, period.
Exactly.
Right? Someone decides they want to put a paper mill right up next to your $200,000, $300,000 homes that's going to pollute your water table.
Yep,
you
exactly.
can't stop them because
you can't
you're
stop
going
them
to interfere
at
with their corporate profits.
Plus, when they sue the U.S. government for that and they win, we're going to be liable as taxpayers for paying the bill. That is the most shoddy thing I've ever heard of in my life.
Yep.
I got to ask you guys, with 51% of working Americans now making less than 30 grand a year, I'm one.
Mm-hmm.
And a new study by the Social Security Administration. That also says 40% are making less than 20 grand a year.
It's horrible.
The federal government considers a family of four living on an income of less than $24,250 to be in poverty. When you have,
I'd say they need to put that upward more, but it's just terrible.
But I have to say to you, though, what middle class are you talking about?
I mean, it's just about gone. It's just about gone.
I was going to say, you want to talk about a middle class. When I'm talking about a middle class, I'm talking about somebody making $50,000, maybe $55,000 or less.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right,
if,
right.
If,
yep.
What,
I'm talking about the middle of the road. You have the upper middle class that can go from 60 to 100.
Right.
That's what I think is the problem with this kind of grand overall, you know, definition, because if somebody in New York City is making $50,000 a year, they're barely scraping by.
Exactly.
Well,
yeah, right.
I was going to say, well,
but overall,
I mean, very good
right.
point, right?
Yeah.
Because I remember a guy, a good man, a friend of mine back home, talked about his taste was that the prison workers in California were asking for $100,000 a year. Well, you know, he was making probably $40,000, $45,000, you know, with a BS degree.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I have been to California. It takes that kind of money just to pay for standard housing.
Oh, I know, housing's already.
That is,
and Alaska is the
in
same
California.
Way. And parts of North Dakota now are that. It's certain areas are the prices of everything are inflated by oil and the resources that are going on there, and
right.
it distorts it kind of, but. Overall, when you're overall speaking to common middle America and all that sort of thing,
mm-hmm.
You know, that's what we're talking about here. We're not talking
right.
about
right. the right. I was going to say, right. You can be making $100,000 a year, but if you're in New York, you're working middle class.
Exactly.
If you're
right,
in
right.
if you're in Los Angeles or San Francisco, you're mm-hmm. working middle class.
Exactly. Right. Yeah.
Now there's a little snapshot of information here. The assault on the American workforce by NAFTA, which was established under Clinton in 94, which at the time promised, what, 200,000 net jobs a year in the United States?
Big lie. Yep.
It's led to $181 billion dollar trade deficit with Mexico.
Exactly.
Canada, and the
and it destroyed the farming community in Mexico. That's why so many of them hopped the border.
Right. That's the snapshot. And Obama has misled the public throughout this process. He claimed that the environmental groups were supportive of the agreement because it provided environmental protections. And that's been
yeah.
complete lie. He told us
well,
that
yeah.
it was.
Well, we know what he says is we have to take with a grain of salt nowadays.
And he calls it a 21st century trade agreement, but it actually rolls back progress that was made in the Bush era trade agreements, if you want that
yeah,
one.
Yeah, it's pathetic, yeah.
Yeah, right,
yeah.
exactly. Right.
Yeah. Obama's got it all wrong. He's getting bad economic advice from a number of people who are too allied with Wall Street or too cozy with banks or big pharma. It's just really, it's, you know, we just don't have a friend in the White House right now.
Well, I like what Bernie Sanders says. He says, Congress doesn't control Wall Street. Wall Street is controlling Congress.
Exactly right. He nailed it.
Yeah.
He nailed it. Very true.
Yeah. You know, I saw an interesting piece. I just wanted to mention, I saw an interesting piece this morning on, I like to watch the CBS Sunday morning show. Not the you know the news thing, but the or the
right.
political, but the they have a nice mm-hmm. show they do. It used to be Charles Gralt that did it. And they showed this piece where a lot of Korean war veteran families were invited by the government of South Korea to come over and see what they've created as far as a war memorial goes for the American soldiers and pilots who fought in their path. It was
mm-hmm.
really touching. They had like own, you know, like Vietnam Wall is in Washington. They had walls, a whole hall of walls with the names of every American that died or was missing in action in the Korean War, and they make true heroes of their allies, and I thought it was stunning. I really did. And this kind of world order, corporate dominance, will strip cultures of these kinds of you know ability to create a more a bridge between cultures because
exactly it'll relegate everybody to the same corporate slavery. That's exactly
right.
what it's going to do.
And other big, big danger here is they're going to pit countries against one another more so ever than any of the wars we've fought before, I think. And it really scares me.
It'll be trade wars, and it'll be money wars, and it's cyber wars and everything else. It's a dangerous, dangerous, dangerous precedent, and it's got to be stomped upon immediately. It's got to be halted very fast, immediately. So we got to get on our heels, gang, and really, really popularize the unpleasantness of the TPP and related things. And we've got to put an end to this. We got to squash this corporate maneuvering, the secretive corporate maneuvering, before it ends up enslaving the whole world.
Right.
It's already got too much influence right now, but we got to make sure that we don't become total slaves to it.
I want to really thank our listeners and guests in the chat room, Mr. Rewrite or Ms. Rewrite, I don't know which, is thanking you, Jack, for speaking the truth.
Well, thanks to that listener, and I'm glad that he or she is there and will continue to be there and spread the word themselves, too.
We appreciate that.
There's an old environmental adage, okay? All of the tree huggers and earth lovers and gardeners will tell you, you know, as far as greening back our planet and blueing back our oceans.
Right.
Yeah.
It's about act local and think global. And I think
there you go. Good point.
That's
very
good
point. And all of you people in the chat room and all of you people listening and all of you people who are supporting us and our efforts to educate people about the dangers of over-corporatism and the excesses of capitalism and all these things, thank you very much. And I'm urging you to all help us any way you can to completely keep moving forward. We can't go backward any longer. We've got to go forward with a new agenda. Something that's fair, equal, egalitarian, and not devoted strictly to profits and to the betterment of the already too wealthy.
Well, yeah, Jack, I would contend that the working middle class, and I'll use that as the generic term,
yep,
being relative to wherever region of the country you're from,
right,
has been stepping back. We have been economically de-escalating.
We've got to start kicking forward.
You need to take the power back.
Yep.
And throw the
start
corporate stooges out.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It is important not only for yourself, but more important for your children and your grandchildren.
For the future of the world.
For
the future of
the world.
Across
the world. That's right.
What a great show this has been this week, Gwen. We're about at the end of it here. I'm with the Saturday Afternoon Post. My blog will be up again soon. I can't say exactly when, but check me out there. And there are a lot of good lefty blogs online, too. Roundtree 7 is a great one. And Wayne's the Minds and Times of, or the, what is it?
Minds and Times of F. Wayne Johnson.
That's right. Minds and Times, yeah.
Thank you, gentlemen. And I look forward
very
to
good,
next.
Gwen.
And thank you, everybody who's listening in. And this has been The Sunday Show with Jack Dodell, myself, and
see you next week.
Yes, next week.